This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. So schools will be reopening slowly in September after a very tumultuous period for students, teachers and parents. So today we wanted to talk about what this would mean and what needs to be put in place for this to happen safely. So to go back to the announcement itself, on Saturday the Education Ministry announced that schools will gradually be reopening starting from the 1st of September, and this is of course subject to change depending on risk assessments by the Health Ministry as well as the National Security Council. And the decision was made specifically based on vaccination rates among school staff. As of July 16th, at least one dose has been given to more than 60% of teachers and administrators and 46% of support staff. So that's, I think that's where it is in terms of who is getting vaccinated. However, there have, of course, been concerns about student safety, right? And if we look at where that is at the moment in terms of who among the students would be getting vaccinated, last month, the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine was approved for adolescents aged 12 and above by the Drug Control Authority. But it was said also on June 30th by the coordinating minister, Kari Jamaluddin, they're currently monitoring updates on the on adverse events following reports of increased heart inflammation risk, particularly among young boys, and that by the end of phase three of PIC, there should be enough data to determine whether or not they'll proceed with vaccinating adolescents. And the health minister did also say that the COVID-19 vaccine candidate selection committee recommends that only teens with chronic illnesses receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. So for teens, at least at the moment, we know that it's going to be teens with chronic illnesses, and then there's going to be an assessment after after phase three of PIC, which is where we currently are. So there have been some responses to this, to school reopening as a whole. For example, Amanah Deputy President Datuk Sri Salahuddin bin Ayub asked how the Education Ministry will ensure the safety of unvaccinated students, particularly with the increasing reports of sporadic cases due to the Delta variant. He also asked for not just the percentage of staff, but the percentage of students who have been vaccinated, and said that without clear SOPs, there could be a resurgence of education-related clusters. Parent Action Group for Education Malaysia Chairman Datin Nur Azima also said that the SOPs must be stringent, and the same thing came through from the Malacca Action Group for Parents in Education Chairman Mak Chee Kin, who said also that the Education Ministry must have an action plan in case not all teachers are vaccinated. And I think that this is a particularly interesting story because it has been very difficult, admittedly, for everyone, for students, for parents who have to help their kids learn at school. We've talked endlessly about the challenges that education has faced over the last year. So schools reopening should be a balm, particularly after chunks of this year have been spent out of school. But I think when school reopened the last time also, what we were hearing on the ground from teachers were concerns around events like pickup, around meal times, basically things beyond the classroom. And so I think when we talk about SOPs, that's kind of where we're talking about, not just what happens when students are actually sitting down in classrooms with distancing in place, with masks and so on, but what it would mean for the times when ordinarily they would mingle, for pickup and drop off, just areas where if you think about human flow, if you think about foot traffic, that's where it would be heavy. So I think SOPs are crucial. It is also interesting, I think, to think about what this would mean for students and for parents to feel safe, particularly when it comes to vaccinations. So these are all the questions that this is throwing up. Let us know, though. I mean, how do you feel about schools gradually reopening in September? What do you think about the timeline? And what SOPs do you think need to be put in place? Let us know. Call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with Chan Sun Singh, the CEO for Teach for Malaysia, to get his view. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking today about the announcement that schools will be reopening gradually in September. This has come with a call for, well, more information about how unvaccinated students will be kept safe and also what the SOPs are going to be. So we want to know, what do you think about the timeline of schools reopening in September? What kinds of SOPs you think should be put in place? That number to call is 7733299. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're crossing over to Chan Sun Sing, CEO for Teach for Malaysia. Sun Sing, thanks for speaking with us. So to start off, what are your thoughts on schools reopening?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the first thing to say is that schools have been closed for way too long in Malaysia. And obviously, you know, it's been a response to the COVID-19 situation. But I think that there's much more that can be done to think about how schools, or at least certain pockets of schools, can be reopened. The UNICEF and the UNESCO just released a joint statement last week stating that schools should be the last to close and the first to reopen in times of a pandemic. And I think that there's much more that can be done to think about how we can reopen schools as fast and as safely as possible during this time. So I think it's great that there is a plan clearly about the reopening of, at least a timeline about the reopening of schools. But I think that there's more that can be done for certain pockets to actually reopen faster.
Right. And how have teachers been responding to this announcement? What have also students and parents said so far?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed range. I think that what's felt across the board, whether you're a teacher, parent, or a student, is that home-based learning is not the ideal situation. I think that teachers are extremely frustrated with the experience because it's extremely hard to, number one, make sure that all of their kids can access learning. And even when they are able to access learning, it's hard to ensure that they're able to engage kids in a meaningful way without being able to really see and interact with them in person. And I think that students and parents really feel the frustration. From a parent's perspective, it's about needing to go above and beyond to support their kids' learning during this time, especially when, you know, they're not trained as teachers, right? And I think that that can be a huge toll on a parent's time if they're able to even have that time available for their children. And, you know, for the majority of students, they just definitely don't enjoy the online learning experience. That's not 100% true for everybody, but for the majority, that is the sentiment.
So what are some of the conditions that met before schools can reopen?
I think what we've seen across the last few school reopening sessions were there were some SOPs in place, but what we saw over time is that the enforcement of those SOPs became more and more lax. I think a second thing was that decision-making and the decentralization of decision-making needs to be more effective. So in the past, if a school leader needed to close or reopen their school, they would have to go through multiple layers. And obviously, it's necessary that, you know, there needs to be input from the relative health officials. At the same time, a school leader can't just make the decision by themselves, but they needed, a school leader just did not have the decision-making rights to open or close schools effectively. And then thirdly, there just needed to be more different ways in which schools could reopen and handle the schooling situation. So I'll give you an example. When schools reopened, schools, you know, they typically opened in phases, where you'd bring back some kids to school, but eventually the full schooling model was to reopen schooling for everybody. But a challenge with that is that you just don't allow for the effective physical distancing to occur in school, because there's just too many students that happen in school. And so I think there's more modes that we can explore. So for example, you know, in organizations with business continuity plans, they have the team A, team B concept, where different people go in at different times. There's different aspects of cohorting or bubbling of students to ensure that they don't meet with other groups of students, that you isolate kids to a certain bubble. And there's even things like staggered timing in terms of school arrivals and school departures to ensure that that students don't interact with different groups. So I think that there's just a lot more that can be done to ensure that schools reopen safely. So number one, it is about ensuring that there are stronger plans and decentralization of powers to ensure that school leaders, those who are closest to the ground, are able to make decisions more effectively. And then I think other conditions obviously depend on infection rates, obviously in the communities that the schools are in. I think that what the challenge now is that we have a blanket school closure policy. However, there are certain states or certain areas that may have very, very low or even zero transmission rates. So, for example, you take the state of Perlis, very small state, low population, and also very, very, very few transmission rates. It does not make this sense to apply the same sort of national blanket policy to close schools there when you could safely reopen when schools in that state.
And, you know, the first time schools reopened did see some clusters and cases involving students, teachers, school staff, parents. Did the Education Ministry respond adequately in those instances? What could have been improved?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I think that a challenge was that schools did not have enough authority to be able to make decisions as quickly as possible. And so they would have to then wait on either be waiting on the district or the state for or the Ministry of Education at the federal level in order to for them to be able to make a decision. I think that that really decentralizing the decision-making authority is a key thing that needs to be taken into account for future school reopenings.
And what were some of the ways in which schools themselves struggled to address those clusters at the time? I mean, have there been new and improved SOPs in place since?
Yeah, so the minister has announced that there will be new guidelines and SOPs in place in time for the new school reopening. We haven't seen those things yet. They haven't been released yet. So hopefully those will be more stringent SOPs. Like I said earlier, I think that some of the challenges around the ways in which schools were reopened was just sort of like there was a lack of, I guess, flexibility or modes in which the school could reopen. So it was either that you reopened the school or you shut down, the whole school. So I think really thinking more about how cohorting of students or bubbling of students could occur, and how you could shut down certain sections or certain clusters of students within the school instead of having to shut down the whole school at one period of time could be in place. I think there's also much more that can be done in terms of ensuring that, for example, things like, can testing be done in schools, for example? Can schools become testing centers for students as well, just to make it as easy as possible for people to be aware of their status?
How has the vaccination rate for teachers and school staff been?
Yeah, so I think the ministry announced that there's about 230 plus thousand teachers and staff that have been vaccinated so far. So that's approximately 50% of the teaching force that has been vaccinated so far. I think that that really needs to be prioritized. I think that we have to think of education as an essential service and ensure that teachers, school staff, and not even just teachers and school staff, right, but all of the adults that sort of operate around the periphery of a school, so whether that is bus drivers, whether that is canteen operators, whether that is the security guards that serve within a school. I think we've got to consider all of these individuals as part of the front line to ensure that schools are able to reopen as safely as possible. And we should really, really prioritize vaccinating these individuals.
So at the moment, the government is offering the vaccines to teens with underlying health conditions and will only roll it out to others at a later stage. How would you handle students who aren't vaccinated and maybe aren't comfortable attending school, or for that matter, their parents?
Yeah, I think that it is really important at this point in time that there is choice that is available for students. So and parents, of course, at this time, right? And so what we know is that, you know, there are some students that do have a stable internet connection that are able to access learning effectively from home. For the majority of students, that isn't the case, but we know that that is possible for some students. And we can make it possible for hybrid classes to occur where there are students that are learning from home and students that are learning in the classroom. And I think that giving that choice is something that will help not only in terms of personal sort of comfort and security, but it'll also help in terms of ensuring that there are less numbers of students in a school that can then help the school to enforce better and more effective physical distancing measures. So I think that there can be measures that are in place to allow students who have a safe and comfortable environment at home to continue to learn online even once schools reopen.
And I reckon, you know, key to all of this is going to be really good SOPs. What do you think are the most important SOPs to ensure the safety of students?
Yeah, so obviously the main thing is to be able to ensure that distancing is possible in schools, right? There are also, though, there are schools in Malaysia that are underpopulated and can also be ready to open now because they would have the physical space. But typically schools in Malaysia wouldn't have the extra physical space to distance. So thinking about SOPs around how to ensure that students are able to distance effectively. So that would mean things that would run the school operations in such a way that you wouldn't have all of the students in school at one point in time. You would need to break up the students that are in school. The second thing is then to really be able to be effective at ensuring that students remain within a bubble or within a cluster inside the schools, that they don't interact with students or even adults outside of those clusters. So that would then enable the school to be able to track and trace more effectively, and then to close down. So to, let's say a student or a teacher in a cluster gets infected, then they would be able to close that cluster with more reassurance that they hadn't affected the other clusters in school. So number one, ensuring that there is effective social distancing or physical distancing. And the reality is that it's going to be hard to expect students to maintain that in school if you bring it back all the students in the same amount of that you typically would have. And the only way that you'd be able to really ensure that or better ensure that is by reducing the number of students within the school. And then the second thing really about ensuring that there is proper and effective clustering or bubbling that happens. And then obviously the third is really enforcing just the whole standard SOPs around ensuring that either hands are being washed or sanitized and that there is the effective and necessary PPE equipment that is either available and is utilized throughout the whole schooling period.
And what other aspects should be focused on to improve student learning?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a key challenge during this time, and the longer that schools remain closed, the more this becomes an increasing challenge, right, is that, number one, their social and emotional well-being is something that really needs to be addressed. I think the pandemic is an extremely disruptive experience, which is traumatic and is something that every student is facing at this point in time. So coming back to school, it won't be effective to just, you know, get everybody back into school and then just drill down into academic learning. But really thinking about how do we create spaces for students to make sense of this experience? How do we create spaces for students to identify the emotions and the challenges that they're facing? And I think that reopening school alongside that is also going to create a space for students to be able to socialize and to interact with their friends, which is really important. And being stuck at home can be an extremely isolating experience for students.
You know, Sinsing, the hope was that 2021 would have been a better year for education than 2020. I think it's fair to say that it's not been the case. What are your hopes for the remainder of the school year?
It has been a very challenging school year. And I think that the longer that we continue to face these challenges, it stacks on, or the effect compounds, the longer that schools are closed and the longer that students face all of these uncertainties and challenges. So, I mean, I really think that understanding the role of education during this time. And I think it's really, really important that as an education system and as a society, we step away from the idea that education is just about exam grades and academic content. But I think that, you know, if we look to Malaysia's national education philosophy, it really is about the holistic development of a child. And when we say that, that means not just their intellectual capability, but also their physical, their emotional, their social, their spiritual capabilities as well. And so I think that it's an opportunity for us as a nation, as an education system, to rethink what are our priorities during this time. If we go back to school, or if we focus the remainder of the year on how do we make sure that we are cramming in all of the academic content so that we can score well on examinations, and I think we're not doing a service to our students and to our country. But I think that we also need to think holistically about how do we help students to really process and make sense of this time. How do we ensure that we're building the resilience, the social and emotional resilience, the mental health and well-being into students as well? And, you know, I think the opportunity that we have is to really reframe and reset what are the learning outcomes that we're expecting of students during this period of time. And I think that when we can do that and anchor back onto a more holistic approach, that, you know, at least then we would be able to take some of the lessons of the pandemic and not try and just pummel back into an exam orientation or a singular focus on academics when we return.
Sun Sing, thank you so much for joining us this evening. That was Chan Sun Sing, CEO for Teach for Malaysia, weighing in on the gradual reopening of schools come September. So we've been asking you, what do you think about this timeline? What kind of SOPs do you think need to be put in place? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.